The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start with the cover story headline on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal. The Tech Whisperer. Mike Lipps' journey started with a simple marketing job, only to find himself as one of the most influential tech leaders in Raleigh-Durham. And the cover story begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, Lipps' Excellent Tech Journey. Mike Lipps' path started with a simple marketing job, only to land himself as one of the most influential tech leaders in the Triangle. This is written by Zach Ezone. Mike Lipps knows firsthand the importance of the medical imaging technology his company provides. When he was in his early 40s, about a decade ago, Lipps' mother died from terminal cancer. I was one of those unfortunate people who was raised by an incredible woman who didn't make it to her 60th birthday, largely because she didn't have access to some of the technology that we try to produce and provide at Intelerad, Lipps says. Lipps points to this loss as part of why he followed an opportunity in 2020 to become CEO of Intelerad, a company with the ambitious goal of improving human health. As a medical imaging management company, Intelerad's software is more akin to a medical device that physicians utilize to exchange patient data and images through a cloud-based system rather than through CD-ROMs. The company is operating in this space at a pivotal time. The demand and need for medical imaging is increasing as the U.S. population ages, and the number of radiologists and cardiologists providing care remains effectively flat. This is creating a gap that technology, such as the solutions Intelerad provides, can fill, Lipps says. The purpose for the company is to try to help humans live longer, healthier lives, he says. We're going to provide an enterprise imaging platform for hospitals and health systems all the way down to the individual radiologist so they have better tools that ultimately make them more productive. Backed by investments from private equity firms, Intelerad has doubled its revenue in the more than 2 years since Lipps joined the company and has grown to 750 employees, with about 100 in the Triangle. The company has also expanded to more than 2,500 customers, the majority of which are hospitals and health systems, and Intelerad is continuing this growth from its new headquarters in Raleigh, Lipps' home, for more than a decade. To build another company here in the Triangle area and to do it in healthcare, where the mission was much more personal than anything I had done in my career, it was all too good to pass up, he says. Setting a goal. Born in the 1970s as the oldest of three children, Lipps didn't grow up with a computer in his Bay Area childhood home, but that didn't stop him from building a career in software. When he began classes at California State University, East Bay, Lipps intended to pursue a career in marketing, and initially he did. He landed a job after graduating in 1993 with a marketing agency focused on high-tech and financial services clients. After that, he moved to software giant Intuit in 1995, kicking off a 14-year run with the company. Lipps says this is where he fell in love with the software business. Intuit is one of those Silicon Valley icons, Lipps says. I got to grow up there doing everything from marketing to product management to operations and ultimately got to run business units for them. Lipps' first career break came at Intuit when the company's CEO called Lipps to his office and explained he wanted to prepare the marketing leader to run a business unit. But first, Lipps needed a 360-degree view of the company. The Intuit CEO sent Lipps to different business units to solve various problems. This included working on a large call center project or delivering on customer engagement initiatives. This process lasted about 18 months until Lipps eventually returned to the CEO's office. I can remember the day that CEO called me and said, okay, you've done what we wanted you to do. When you come in on Monday, we're going to pick a business for you to run, and we're going to see what you can do, Lipps says. Lipps first began running a small unit of about $10 million in annual revenue before eventually progressing to running the company's QuickBooks financial software division, which at the time in the mid-2000s was worth about $350 million. It was also through this process that Lipps set his career goal of one day becoming a CEO. Personal motivation. It was hard for Lips to not draw a personal attachment to the opportunity of joining Intelerad. At its core, the company makes software tools that help radiologists, cardiologists, and other physicians be more effective in delivering health care. These are the kinds of software tools intended to benefit patients like Lips' mother. He says she didn't receive the type of imaging services that would have informed her and her physicians that she had colon cancer before it spread. My mother ended up getting terminal cancer largely because she didn't go in and get the type of imaging that would have ultimately told her that she had colon cancer before it spread and became something that was much more serious, Lips says. Fueled by this personal mission, Lips became the CEO of Intelerad in October 2020 and set out to build, as he describes it, a medical informatics leader. But this change came with a learning curve. An Intelerad employee clearly laid out the stakes for Lips early in his days as CEO. The employee described a hypothetical situation in which an on-call radiologist is treating a car crash victim at a hospital at 3 a.m. but can't read the patient's images because the company's software goes down. That moment, the weight of the responsibility of what we do and the type of software tool that we provide and how it gets used, that makes this different from legal software, financial software, from anything I had done in my career, Lips says. Lips recalls feeling like he was in over his head during an initial meeting with leaders of a radiology practice group who spoke with him like he was a clinical practitioner rather than a business executive. They needed my help, and that puts a lot of pressure on you and to get up the learning curve as quickly as you can, Lips says. This lack of healthcare experience isn't a concern for Dr. Satish Mathan, president and managing partner of Raleigh Radiology, an Intelerad customer that uses a product the company acquired through an acquisition. Mathan and Lips met about a year ago and have remained in contact. Mathan says Lips is easy to reach and always open and engaging. He adds that having a direct line to a local executive is a benefit for the growing practice of more than 45 physicians in clinics throughout the Triangle. Speaking from his own experience of growing up with a father in technology startups, Mathan says Lips has the ability to pull what he's learned from previous experiences that would apply in healthcare. Sometimes it's tough to adopt new things in healthcare, Mathan says. We can take some best practices from other industries and apply them to our industry. Intelerad's technology, Mathan says, addresses areas of long-time inefficiency in healthcare. The ability of a radiologist at one hospital to read a chest x-ray performed at a different facility through a technology platform is more efficient than the traditional method shared CD-ROMs. Having more information allows you to be more efficient in your care, Mathan says. Increased efficiency means better patient care, better access to care, and also decreased costs, because if you can see what's going on at different sites, you can help eliminate redundancies. The path to Intelerad. Lips came to Intelerad with about 2 years of experience as a CEO. In June 2018, he joined Raleigh-based Insight Software after it was created through the combination of two companies recently acquired by TA Associates. Lips rapidly grew the firm by acquiring six companies in less than a year. From the time he joined Insight Software to the time he left, the company grew from about $30 million in revenue to more than $250 million. I found it was a tremendous opportunity to reach that pinnacle of my career and become a CEO and run a standalone company, Lips says. It was Lips' experience of rapidly scaling up Insight Software that led the CEO to his role at Intelerad. Intelerad was founded in Canada in 2000, focused on developing medical imaging software for radiologists. The company grew to an annual revenue of about $100 million over its first two decades, but the private equity firm, HG Capital, saw an opportunity to accelerate that pace. In early 2020, HG acquired the company. Hector Guinness, a partner at HG, declines to provide the size of the firm's initial investment in the company, but media reports at the time priced it at more than $500 million. Guinness says the firm invested in Intelerad because of its potential for growth amid changes in the healthcare industry. For instance, he says decades ago, radiologists may have printed and reviewed images in a small room in a basement of hospitals, whereas today this could take place anywhere, including at a physician's home on a large 4K screen. We realized there was a big opportunity around how radiology images are going to be read and how the software will support the market changes, Guinness says. But shortly after the firm made this initial investment, the pandemic emerged and hospitals became more cautious around purchase decisions. During this period of largely remote activity, HG focused on building out a more significant commercial footprint for Intelerad in the U.S. This included beginning a search for a CEO based in the U.S. HG had known Lips through a board member who worked closely with the Raleigh executive at Insight Software, Guinness says. The firm was interested in his experience of rapidly growing the Raleigh software firm in a short amount of time. Guinness describes Lips as someone who is disciplined and effective at driving a level of professionalism while also being thoughtful in how he builds relationships with other people. This ability is particularly important in the company's acquisitions efforts. He has a level of rigor and operational focus that has meant the business has been able to scale very quickly through a combination of organic growth and acquisitions, Guinness says. Transformative deal. Morris Panner first met Lips about 2 years ago. The two sat at a table under a gas lamp in the cold in Washington, D.C. to discuss a deal that would significantly reshape Intelerad. Panner was then the CEO of Ambra Health, a cloud-based medical imaging company that he had spent the last decade building. Ambra Health reached a point, Panner says, where it could have either raised money and continued growing on its own or worked out an attractive deal with one of the many potential buyers. When it came to meeting in D.C., Panner says Lips was both clever and transparent. He asked if the two could develop a timeline that they both agreed to follow, as they worked out a potential deal. The timeline would be clear to both parties and could be shared with the public. Lips just wanted them to be straight with one another. It helped him build a lot of trust, and it was a very clear way of doing business, Panner says. I think that characterizes a lot of his approach, which is high integrity, very transparent. Panner describes Lips as an inspiring leader with the ability to clearly convey a message. For example, he presents joining Intelerad as an opportunity to become part of an organization with the lofty mission of improving global health. Intelerad completed its acquisition of Ambra in late 2021 and created a company that was worth an estimated $1.7 billion at the time. But the integration process wasn't a completely smooth process. Lips and Panner could feel in early 2022 that pieces of the newly combined company weren't clicking. The company missed its first quarter targets, a disappointing result after a significant investment in the merger. Lips decided the company, which has operations in the U.S., Canada, United Kingdom, and Australia, needed to bring everybody together in Raleigh for a conference built on the word believe. And it worked. Panner says the company saw 60% year-over-year growth in bookings over the subsequent two quarters. Meanwhile, Lips was also trying to finalize a nearly $400 million investment from TA Associates. The success of the merger was part of the thesis as to why Intelerad merited such a large additional investment, Panner says. Lips remained calm throughout the process of closing the deal, which was announced in July 2022, and valued the company at more than $2 billion, Panner says. That was really an inspiring thing to see because he never made his stress my stress or anybody else's stress, Panner says. It was just, we've got to do the best we can do. But he really had so much riding on it. Intelerad's acquisition of Ambra Health is one of nearly 10 deals the company has completed since AG's investment and Lips becoming CEO. When Lips stepped into the role, the company, which was solely focused on medical imaging for radiologists, was generating around $100 million in annual revenue, a number the company has doubled over the last 2 years. Through its acquisitions, the company has expanded its scope by moving into other healthcare specialties and growing its global footprint to serve more markets. Lips says he has relied on lessons learned from previous experiences at Inuit, the software company LexisNexis, and Insight Software to navigate through this period of rapid growth. It also helps to not have a lot of hobbies. People have different hobbies. They like golf and these different things, Lips says. I'm a horrible golfer. I love to build companies. From California to Raleigh. Lips knew from the first time HG contacted him about Intelerad that he wanted to base the company in Raleigh, his home, for more than a decade. The California native moved to North Carolina through an opportunity with software company LexisNexis of New York. When the company approached Lips about running its new legal software unit, the job offer came with a condition. LexisNexis wanted Lips to create a Silicon Valley culture within the unit while basing it outside of the expensive tech hub. After a national review which considered cities like Denver, Seattle, and Austin, Texas, Raleigh emerged as the top candidate. We picked up the family and relocated from San Francisco to Raleigh with two kids, and we never looked back, Lips says. Lips moved to Raleigh in 2011 to set up the LexisNexis legal software business, which grew to 600 employees over the following 5 to 7 years. The company opened an office at NC State University Centennial Campus, which turned into a global technology headquarters for LexisNexis. He left the company in 2017 to become the president and chief operating officer of MercuryGate, a Carey transportation management software company, before leaving Insight Software through 2 years of growth. With Intelerad, Lips has another opportunity to grow a business in Raleigh. The company in early 2022 signed a lease for the sixth floor of 305 Church at North Hill Street in North Hills that will serve as the company's U.S. and world headquarters. Lips says it was an easy decision given the access to technology talent, plus the cost of living and quality of life, important factors when recruiting talent. Intelerad has grown from about 350 employees to 750 since Lips joined. Nearly 100 employees are based in the Raleigh area, including about 55 who the company has hired over the last year. But rather than just a headquarters for Intelerad, Raleigh has become home to Lips, his wife, and his two children. After arriving in Raleigh from San Francisco and its renowned culinary scene, Lips and his wife were eager to go once a week and different restaurants or see how a show at the Durham Performing Arts Center. And now with their children in college, a son at NC State and a daughter at UNC Chapel Hill, they have even more time. "It's only been a few months since my daughter, we moved her into a dorm, and now all of a sudden it can be a Tuesday night and we can say, there's a great restaurant down the street, let's go there," Lip says. The move from California to Raleigh initially felt like a big transition, but that changed toward the end of the second year, Lip says. The family was flying to San Francisco to visit friends and relatives when, as the plane landed, Lip's wife commented on the dry brown hills, the lack of trees, and the overwhelming road congestion. It was at that point, Lip says, that he realized the city he identified as home had changed. "This has been my home for a decade, and it will be home for a while longer," Lip says. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Managing Editor Dane Huffman. NIL, risks and opportunities. The arrival of the NCAA tournament this month underscores the heightened roles athletes are playing in the race for marketing dollars and some of the risks that come with high-profile teams. A case in point is UNC Chapel Hill, where the Tar Heels reached the NCAA title game last year and were ranked number one in the preseason. Center Armando Bascott has raked in endorsements thanks to the new rules on name, image, and likeness, but after an underachieving season, the Tar Heels are teetering on the brink of making the tournament as they head into their March 4 home game with Duke University. One local company that has jumped into the NIL game is BOA Nutrition, whose products provide a quick boost of sodium or carbohydrates and vitamins to raise an athlete's performance. CEO John Pritchett says the company began discussions with basketball stars Bascott and Jeremy Roach of Duke last fall before announcing they had signed to support the company during the season. Pritchett acknowledges that seeing one of their clients use a BOA product in a tournament game on CBS with millions of people watching would be ideal, but he also notes that signing a star such as Bascott is a safer bet as he's a known brand and is seen throughout the year. "From that standpoint, it's safer to do a deal with someone like that," Pritchett says. "There's not as much pressure on how the team does." The new world opens other challenges as well. What if, for example, an athlete signs a sneaker deal with a company other than the one aligned with their school? And a real challenge for companies looking to do NIL deals, Pritchett says, is dealing with the myriad different paths to reach athletes, as the process for connecting with athletes at all the various schools varies from one school to another. "The schools that get ahead of it are going to be better able to navigate the waters for the athlete and the marketers," he says. Thorpe goes on the record with Fauci. Holden Thorpe, the former UNC Chapel Hill chancellor, had a fascinating conversation recently with Dr. Tony Fauci as part of his role as editor of the science journals. Thorpe asked Fauci about the hesitancy to take COVID vaccines, and Fauci said misinformation on social media played a key role. He added that those pushing misinformation and disinformation put a lot of energy and effort into it, almost as if they don't have a day job, whereas the people who are countering it with correct information have so many other important things to do. Pinehurst adding a course in Aberdeen. Pinehurst Resort received approval for its 10th course, which will be located in Aberdeen at the former home of the Pitt Golf Links. The rezoning encompasses over 900 acres, and in addition to the resort's 10th course, also calls for a short course, a clubhouse with dining, lodging, a research and development center developed by John Deere and the United States Golf Association, and workforce housing. A large swath of the land is also being set aside for Pinehurst's 11th golf course, but the resort doesn't yet have details about that part of the project yet. The resort's expansion comes at a time when Pinehurst is seeing heightened interest for golf, as President Tom Pashley told TBJ last year that for the first time, the resort has a wait list for new golf members. Worst roads in the Triangle? TBJ Editor-in-Chief Sugata Mukherjee started a new text service primarily for the subscribers and recently asked for opinions on the worst roads around the Triangle. And he got inundated with answers. With scores of new residents arriving, roads are getting busier and people are hating driving on them. Among the worst roads mentioned were Capitol Boulevard, Chapel Hill Road, I-440 from Cary Parkway to Wade Avenue, Six Forks Road, and Oberlin Road. In fact, one reader said, "The worst road may be Oberlin Road. I believe it should lose its status as a road and be identified as a path." Want to chime in? The text service is free, and you can register at promo.bizjournals.com/TBJ text. And that's promo.bizjournals.com/TBJ text. And finally, don't try to label this restaurant. A new restaurant with an Italian name has opened in the former kitchen space in Chapel Hill, but don't call it an Italian restaurant. Named Bombolo, the new restaurant is located at 764 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. A sign in the restaurant's window reads, "Si si mi es pas un ristorante italien," which is French for, "This is not an Italian restaurant." The spot was previously a fine dining French bistro, but owners Dick and Sue Barrows retired and sold the business to Garrett Fleming and Eleanor Lacey. Fleming, a Top Chef alum, and Lacey previously ran a barbecue restaurant in Chapel Hill. Bombolo's menu includes items like New Orleans-style shrimp, lamb manti, grilled octopus, spicy spaghettoni al limon, and cow soy. The restaurant is open for dinner from Thursday through Sunday. "We aren't an Italian restaurant or fine dining or a high-concept new American gastropub. We're just Bombolo. For us, no other labels need to apply," the restaurant's website reads. And now we turn to some of the top stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one written by Kaylee Thompson. Cary owner looking for $1 million per acre for prime location. One of the last pieces of property near downtown Cary will soon be up for sale for an eye-popping price, more than $1 million an acre. Lee & Associates will be listing the 37.8-acre site and looking to get as much as $50 million, according to Triangle head Moss Withers. The site is at the intersection of East Chatham Street and Southeast Maynard Road and is the last remaining large tract of land in downtown Cary, Withers says. The property currently has a mobile home park, a pond, and retail buildings, Chatham Estates, Chatham Square Shopping Center, and Maynard Plaza. Property owner Curtis Westbrook Sr., owner of real estate management company Westbrook & Associates, says the site is 100% occupied by tenants. The enormous price tag is a sign of the high demand for the sparse developable land remaining in Cary, as the community has grown rapidly in recent years to become a favorite for millennials and retirees moving to the Triangle. More and more companies and developers are flooding into the Cary area. Only about 7,000 acres are left to develop in Cary, according to Scott Berry, chief development officer for the town. Westbrook says he is selling the property because of health issues and is not looking for redevelopment, but rather someone who will manage the property. "East Cary has been slow to develop, and this is a real good opportunity to reach out for new ownership that can either improve what's existing, which could happen and be no major change," Westbrook says, "but it does give the town the opportunity for a landmass that you could go up in height very easily." 5 of the 6 parcels are zoned general commercial, while the other parcel, the mobile home park, is zoned residential multifamily. Westbrook says this tract is a good location for allowing 10 to 12 stories of development, which would tie in well with the development happening in West Raleigh. The properties are 607 Cedar Street, 746 and 748 East Chatham Street, 1401 and 1419 Southeast Maynard Road, and an unaddressed lot on Southeast Maynard Road. The total assessed value of the properties is about $16.2 million. Westbrook has owned the property since the 1980s, according to Wake County records. The site is not far from the new Fenton development along Carytown Boulevard that has become a popular gathering spot since opening last year. And our next story is written by Laura Brumette. The headline, Fenton adding office tenants. Cary Development sees progress leasing space with smaller footprints. Cary's new Fenton development has signed three new office tenants as the huge development continues to fill up. The $1 billion mixed-use development along Carytown Boulevard has shifted focus to securing office tenants with residential and retail leasing well underway. American Tower, H.H. Hunt, and the Capital Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, or CAMPO, have signed leases totaling approximately 75,000 square feet combined. The new leases bring the office space in Fenton's first phase to nearly 50% leased. The development previously announced Compass Residential as its first office tenant, leasing around 8,000 square feet of space. Fenton's first phase has 195,000 square feet of Class A office space. As the office market continues to face rising vacancy rates, developers have struggled to find tenants to fill large spaces and entire floors in the new towers and commercial projects. But the hesitancy in the office market has been a positive for Fenton, says John Hagee, senior managing director at Hines. The developers pivoted to split up some of Fenton's larger office space to attract tenants looking for smaller spaces. The pullback, if you will, on office space commitments has probably been good for us because companies look at a project like Fenton and say, if we were in 50,000 square feet and scrambling to get people back into the office, why don't we lease 25,000 or 30,000 square feet in a location that people will want to come back to, Hagee says. Hines and partner Columbia Development originally envisioned a big-name tech tenant taking up a large portion of office space, but the developers have now taken two floors of office space and converted them from single-tenant space to multiple tenants. There's no reason to wait for one tenant. We're not doing any big game hunting right now, so to speak, Hagee says. We're moving forward and we'll lease up the fourth floor pretty rapidly. American Tower, an owner and operator of communications infrastructure, secured the largest lease of the three new deals by taking an entire floor, about 50,000 square feet. We were drawn to the Fenton development as a unique new offering in this market that's conducive to a work, live, and play environment and provides a breadth of amenities for our 250-plus employees based here, says Jason Hirsch, Senior Vice President of Corporate Real Estate and Investment Support Services at American Tower. H.H. Hunt, a residential real estate developer, is leasing 11,683 square feet. CAMPO, the transportation planning organization serving Franklin, Granville, Harnett, Johnston, and Wake counties, is leasing 13,086 square feet. Advance Auto CEO to retire at the end of this year. This is written by David Pertell. The CEO of Advance Auto Parts, Raleigh's sole Fortune 500 company, is planning to retire. Tom Greco is set to retire as president and chief executive of the auto parts retailer at the end of this year, Advance said February 28, ahead of its fourth quarter earnings report. Greco, who was previously a longtime executive with PepsiCo, became CEO of Advance in 2016 and led the company as it relocated its headquarters from Virginia to the Triangle, eventually taking space in a new North Hills tower that bears the company's name. It has been a privilege to lead Advance, and I am extremely proud of the talented team we have built as well as the accomplishments we have delivered together, Greco says in a statement. Since my appointment as CEO, we have successfully integrated a transformative acquisition while scaling the business and enhancing our operational efficiency, inventory, and distribution capabilities to better serve our customers. The company intends to retain a leading executive search firm to assist in the search for the next CEO. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the On Greater Triangle Growth page, written by Evan Hoopfer. The main headline, mixed-use project planned for Sanford. Mega development near Carolina Trace would bring 700 residences. A huge mixed-use development that would include over 700 new residences and space for commercial use is being proposed in Sanford. The development, referred to as the NC87 mixed-use project and application materials submitted to the city, encompasses 52 acres and sits along NC Highway 87 in front of the Carolina Trace subdivision. The project was referred to the Sanford Planning Board during a city council meeting on February 21, and the fate of the rezoning will be decided at a future meeting. The land is owned owned by two LLCs addressed to the Groce Companies, C-R-O-C-E, that's spelled, a real estate developer based out of Sanford. But local developer Roy Mashburn said during a recent public hearing that he has an agreement to purchase the land. Mashburn leads Perimeter Realty out of Cary. He did not return a request for comment about this project. Kirk Bradley, president and CEO of Sanford-based Lemoore Capital Company, spoke during the public hearing and said he currently has no vested interest in the project but is in discussions about possibly becoming an investor. Bradley is a prominent developer in the Triangle, working on developments such as Mosaic at Chatham Park, a mixed-use project at the entrance of Chatham Park, and Triangle Innovation Point, the megasite where VinFast is building its 7,500-person manufacturing facility. It is very important for us to have housing, Bradley says. We have done a great job recruiting both small and large companies to Sanford and Lee County and adjoining Chatham that will impact us. There will be a lot of in-migration required to be able to staff these positions. They need housing, and we have to do that in a denser way. NASA spacesuit maker targets Lillington. A company that works in the biopharmaceutical, medical device, and aerospace industries is expanding in Harnett County with a new facility. ILC Dover, based in Delaware, has finished construction of a new 48,000-square-foot facility at 900 Edwards Brothers Drive in Lillington. It was a very affordable, attractive, and large site for us that we could scale up for our customers, says Brandon Lamar, the company's vice president of corporate development. ILC Dover, which started in the late 1940s, has historically worked in containment solutions. The work ranges from making spacesuits for NASA, spacesuits contain astronauts, to packaging products in the biopharmaceutical industry. Lamar says the company has a few employees on site currently, and the final headcount will depend on how many customers the company attracts, but he estimates a headcount of between 50 to 100 for the Lillington facility. Subdivision would triple size of town. A small community near the Cumberland-Harnett County border could see its population more than triple if a new subdivision is built. Plans were recently submitted for a rezoning in the town of Godwin, which sits near Interstate 95 in northern Cumberland County, about 20 minutes north of Fayetteville and about 50 minutes south of Raleigh. On the land, a developer is proposing to build 116 single-family lots, according to preliminary plans submitted to the town and county. The applicant is Susan Dart Property, LLC, out of Fuquay-Varina. And now we turn to the On Tech and Travel page, written by Lauren Onasorge. The main headline, Charting New Path for Menstrual Health. Bootstrap Duke Startup Looks to Save Women Money. Armed with a used 3D printer, Los Angeles native Hannah Willen co-founded a startup out of Duke University. And if she's right, it could disrupt the menstrual health industry, saving women money. Altogether, Willen estimates she and her fellow co-founder have funneled about $6,000 into CAPD period, the bootstrap firm she started while pursuing her Master's of Science in Quantitative Management at Duke. The concept is a menstrual cup with a cap, quote, a cup you can empty without removing it from your body, she says. Just open up the cap and then everything comes out, she said. Then close it up so you don't have to deal with all the inconveniences like washing it out with clean water in a public restroom. Willen's whole life she had struggled with menstrual cups. There's no easy way to use it in public, she says. So she used the analytic skills she was developing at Duke to explore the problem. One thing we found was that thousands of people every year search for the term menstrual cup with valve, which actually didn't exist until we came along, she says. Willen bought a used 3D printer for $1,000 and did her own rapid prototyping, printing molds and filling them with silicone in her kitchen. Then she self-tested the cups. Willen and co-founder Neil Bhatia cut costs further by writing their own patent. They still had to spend a few thousand on legal fees, but she estimates all costs combined, from the printer to those fees, came to about $6,000. The firm secured its first outside capital in January by winning the 2023 Wesley Prize for Young Social Innovators, a $40,000 prize that will enable the distribution of 10,000 CAPD cups to people in Uganda. In the U.S., the plan is to sell cups directly to consumers on its e-commerce site, with retail space a possibility in the future. Bandwidth sees stock crater on guidance. Belt tightening, yes. Layoffs, no. And muted growth. It's a takeaway from Bandwidth CEO David Morken speaking to investors February 23 as work continues on its new headquarters in Raleigh. But while Bandwidth beat earnings projections, executives also told analysts to expect little sales growth in 2023, sending shares down nearly 27%. Morken told analysts to expect constrained growth with sales of $580 million for the year, or a 1% revenue increase. That compares to the 17% growth reported for 2022. But Bandwidth made no mention of workforce reduction on its call. "We didn't binge on a hiring spree in 2020 and 2021, Morken said, and we're not purging by layoffs. Morken said the firm would be taking control of what we really have control of, and that's our profitability. It wants to grow EBITDA 30% in 2023. And finally, commuters to get relief from bumpy Beltline. The rumbling commutes on the Raleigh Beltline from Wake Forest to Lake Boone Trail are causing headaches, but smoother travels lie ahead. The problem is degradation of the top layer of the asphalt, says Aaron Moody, Assistant Director of Communications from the North Carolina Department of Transportation. Initially, the area was scheduled to be resurfaced in fiscal 2025, but after receiving several complaints, the project was accelerated to bid out in fiscal year 2022. Fred Smith Company won the $26 million contract last year, and work is expected to begin in April. And now we turn to the On Healthcare and Higher Education page, written by Zach Ezone. NC State to purchase university towers. University will pay $29.6 million, plans to renovate facility. NC State University plans to acquire a prime property next to campus in order to expand the college's student housing capacity. The University of North Carolina System Board of Governors on February 23 authorized the university to purchase the University Towers property on Friendly Drive for an appraised value of $29.6 million. After closing the deal, the university plans to spend millions on renovations to the building before the fall 2025 academic year. University Towers Operating Partnership LP, based in Memphis, Tennessee, is the building's existing owner. The operating partnership was previously a subsidiary of Education Realty Trust, which was acquired in 2018 by an affiliate of the global apartment giant Graystar Real Estate Partners, based in Charleston, South Carolina, in a $4.6 billion deal. In a statement released at the time, Graystar said Education Realty Trust's student housing platform would operate under the Graystar brand and retain its operational headquarters in Memphis. University Towers is near the Stanhope Student Apartments on Hillsborough Street, which Raleigh developer Kane Realty sold for $131 million in 2021. Since August 2018, NC State has leased space for student housing at University Towers, a roughly 215,000 square foot property with more than 900 beds that was built in the late 1980s and will continue to do so as it finalizes its purchase of the property. The Board of Governors authorized the university to sign a 6 to 10 month lease for the building beginning July 31. The lease will end once the purchase agreement is executed. The board also approved the university's request for about $22 million in funding to complete renovation of the building. Gene editing firm lands deal with Moderna. A gene editing company in Durham has landed a big opportunity with Moderna that could pave the way for more growth. Moderna and Life Edit Therapeutics are working together through a strategic research and development collaboration intended to advance life transformative or curative therapies for certain genetic diseases. The new collaboration brings together Life Edit's gene editing technologies with Moderna's focus on mRNA therapeutics and vaccines. The two companies will collaborate in the early stages of drug discovery and preclinical development. Moderna has options to carry forward assets that come out of this work into the clinic and potentially into the market. In exchange, Life Edit gets an upfront cash payment and is eligible to receive potential development, regulatory, and commercial milestones and royalties on global net sales of successful products that come out of this collaboration. And finally, Syneos won't comment on reports of sale. Syneos Health, based in Mooresville, could soon be up for sale as it and the rest of the life sciences sector face ongoing headwinds. Syneos is making a renewed push to be sold, Reuters reported February 27. The contract research organization is coming off a tough 2022 that saw revenues miss expectations in the third and fourth quarters, and it is predicting a drop in revenue for 2023 as it faces a reduced backlog of clinical contracts. Reuters reported Syneos in 2020 brought on Centerview Partners LLC to explore a sale. Now the CRO has also hired Bank of America to provide financial advice in any sales talks, which could involve an equity, an industry peer or private equity, according to Reuters. And now we'll read Laura Brumette's page on retail and restaurants. Hotel to rise 13 stories, feature rooftop bar. Project will have Homewood Tempo brands from Hilton. A new hotel that's years in the making is on track to open in downtown Raleigh this year. The dual-branded hotel property is bringing 261 guest rooms to the downtown area. One side of the property will operate as a Homewood Suites, while the other is under the Tempo by Hilton flag. The hotel at 200 West Davie Street will rise 13 stories, making its planned rooftop bar the tallest in the Triangle area, according to the developer, CN Hotels of High Point. Construction is well underway at the property. We look forward to introducing this appealing new Hilton lifestyle brand to visitors and residents of North Carolina and couldn't think of a more appropriate location than downtown Raleigh, says Suraj Patel, vice president at CN Hotels. The new hotel is within walking distance of the Raleigh Convention Center. The center's operating team is discussing expansion plans and calling for more hotel rooms downtown to attract larger events to the center. Their criteria excludes select service hotels, such as the new dual-branded building. The hotel originally was announced in 2016 as a Hilton Garden Inn and Homewood Suites, with plans to start construction in 2020. The pandemic put the project on hold, with the groundbreaking delayed to 2021. The hotel will open this fall. The Tempo flag is new for Hilton, with the first location set to open in New York City this August. The Tempo side of the hotel will have 127 rooms featuring amenities such as oversized bath suites and mirrors with built-in Bluetooth speakers. The Homewood Suites side will have 134 guest rooms catering to extended stay travelers with full-size refrigerators, microwaves, stovetops, and dishwashers in each room. Still no movement on Wegmans Holly Springs. Wegmans, known for its giant grocery stores, confirmed plans for a Holly Springs location in late 2019. But now, more than 3 years later, no dirt has moved at the 12-acre site. A spokesperson says the company has no update to share on the Holly Springs store, but added that the store is still in the company's future plans. Though site plans are approved in Holly Springs, no building permits or construction drawing applications have been submitted, the town confirms to Triangle Business Journal. The store's site plans were approved in conjunction with a new Lowe's home improvement store next door. The Lowe's opened in June 2021. In 2021, Wegmans ditched plans for a second Kerry location slotted for the new Fenton development. At the time, the company said business was strong enough at the West Kerry Wegmans to offset the need for two locations there. And finally, now open on Hillsborough Road, downtown Raleigh has a new brunch spot. First Watch, a popular national chain serving breakfast and lunch, is now open in the Block 83 development. The new restaurant is situated at 621 Hillsborough Street, where the street meets Glenwood South, making it a prime location for both downtown residents, visitors, and NC State University students. The restaurant's website, though, lists the new location as Hillsborough Road. The Florida-based chain has 15 Triangle locations, including six in Raleigh. And now we turn to the On Real Estate page, written by Kaylee Thompson. Development to rise on 1,000 acres in Apex. New York firm acquires the site for Viridia for $91 million. A colossal development with housing, commercial, educational, and recreational space is moving ahead following a mega deal for a 1,000-acre site in Apex. RXR Realty of New York has acquired the site for Viridia, or Veridia, spelled V-E-R-I-D-E-A, for $91 million, according to recent Wake County deed records. The developer plans to build new apartments and townhomes along with several amenity features and commercial space at the site by U.S. 1, NC 55, and Highway 540, south of downtown Apex. RXR is also partnering with Wake Technical Community College to develop a campus as part of Phase 1 of the development. The new campus is part of Wake Tech's bond package approved by voters in November. Phase 1 will include 1,110 townhomes and single-family homes Lennar Corporation will build. Joseph Graziosi, Senior Executive Vice President for Residential Development and Construction with RXR, says the company is hoping to break ground on the multifamily units in the first quarter of 2024, with a goal of completing 500 units in the first phase. The first residents should be able to move in late 2025. The Veridea project is consistent with our strategy to invest in superstar regions to develop in sectors such as housing, logistics, and life science that we expect to thrive in a post-COVID world, RXR Chairman and CEO Scott Reckler says. Lennar filed subdivision plans with the town in October. The completion date is estimated for 2029. The new Wake Tech campus will be on 34 acres and can accommodate up to 3,000 students daily. Graziosi says the college is working on developing site plans and could probably start construction in the next 16 to 18 months, with Phase 1 delivering 100,000 square feet. In addition, there are plans to develop a new elementary school on 21 acres. Although RXR, Lennar, and Wake Tech will invest $3 billion in development of the site, Graziosi says it will take 10 to 15 years to fully complete. The Veridea project has been in the works for years. Plans were paused after Reeder Communities pulled its rezoning request for the site in December 2021. That could have been due to RXR Realty coming on board. Graziosi says the company has been working on this deal for 16 to 18 months. Nightdale Project adds hotel, more apartments, and retail. Wide Waters, a developer out of Syracuse, New York, is expanding its Parkstone project in Nightdale. Parkstone has received approval to add a Fairfield Inn and Suites and develop DeWitt Mixed Use. The developer has also sold 148 townhome lots to Mungo Homes for $9.973 million. Parkstone is near the shops at Midway Plantation and Midtown Commons on Highway 64. The 124-room hotel will be in the Widewaters Commons Shopping Center, the company's other development at the corner of Highway 64 and Parkstone Town Boulevard. DeWitt Mixed Use is part of the final phase of Parkstone. It has 290 multifamily units in five buildings, and two buildings will have ground-level commercial and retail space. Mungo Homes has already started building Parkstone Village townhomes, the 148 lots the company purchased. And finally, DC developer seeks zoning for 40 stories. A developer out of Washington, D.C. appears to be rethinking its plans for prime property on Hillsborough Street in downtown Raleigh. The result could be a 40-story height limit. Dalian Development is looking to rezone lots from a 12-story limit to 40. The property is currently zoned mixed use and would remain that use under the proposed zoning if eventually approved by the city. The addresses are 501, 509, 513, and 515 Hillsborough Street, 502, 510, 512, and 514 West Morgan Street, and 10 Southwest Street. The site currently has a mix of single-story office and retail space. And now we turn to the Viewpoint page to read the editor's notebook, written by Sugata Mukherjee, editor-in-chief of the Triangle Business Journal. The headline, "Why Does It Feel Like We're Getting Sicker?" What's going on? Maybe it's nothing, but to me, it really feels like an inordinate number of friends, business acquaintances, and corporate leaders are falling sick, fighting some tough, debilitating disease. And almost all of them have had these issues in the past 18 months. Cancer, by far, has been the main culprit in most cases, almost all of them holding senior-level positions at companies, and they're trying to manage their health and jobs at the same time. The stories from these individuals prompted us to start the bi-monthly Project Life series last month. The second iteration of the project is in this week's edition, and examine the issue of executive health and worker wellness. But I'm still stuck on one thing. I've lived in the Raleigh-Durham area for more than 20 years now and have met hundreds of executives, owners, operators, and administrators of companies, groups, and government. So why all of a sudden are so many people, primarily in their 50s, being diagnosed with cancer or other severe health problems? For the most part, they were all healthy individuals and still sold on active lifestyles. While it is understandable that the circumstances of all my friends fighting these diseases may be different, the timing of when the health concern was diagnosed has been eerily similar. Does COVID have something to do with it? And there are no reported studies connecting vaccines and cancer yet. A 2020 breast cancer research paper forwarded by Frederica Francescelengi, Maria Laura DeAngelis, and Ann Zuner with the Department of Oncology and Molecular Medicine at the Instituto Superiore de Santia in Italy concluded COVID-19 induces the production of factors previously implicated in the reawakening of dormant breast cancer cells such as neutrophil extracellular traps, or NETs. The presence of NETs may therefore promote breast cancer reactivation, increasing the risk of pulmonary metastasis. So the question is, why are we not hearing about this more? Maybe that's because there are other studies that show COVID-19 has no relationship with tumor markers. In fact, the National Institutes of Health conducted a study at a training and research hospital through the National Library of Medicine on 53 women between the ages of 19 and 85 years infected with COVID-19. The NIH concluded that COVID-19 had no effect on tumor markers. Another study published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology last year concluded that COVID vaccines actually lower the risk for people with breast cancer. The other two studies in Italy and the U.S. were done in the early part of 2020 when COVID-19 first started spreading. But since then, there have been several mutations of the virus. Are we still conducting those studies? Or is the reason why so many people are suddenly finding out about these health setbacks because during COVID, 2020 and 2021, screening and imaging were not being done? A report released last week in Diagnostic Imaging, a trade newsletter, notes this. New research from the American Cancer Society comparing pre-pandemic cancer screening prevalence to the second year of the pandemic in the United States shows a 1.1 million decrease in breast cancer screenings, a 4.4 million decrease in cervical cancer screenings, and a 600,000 decrease in prostate cancer screenings. So maybe it's just a coincidence that so many of my friends and business contacts are fighting some serious health issues all at the same time. But why am I having a hard time believing that? I'm missing something. And this edition's article in the Project Life Continuing series is headlined, Managing Stress. Burnout prevention is becoming an essential part of the corporate environment, and taking small steps now can prevent bigger issues. Story by Connie Gentry. About this project, Project Life exists to shed light on executive health and worker wellness. The series includes regular articles on worker stress, worker anxiety, depression, and addiction-related issues that creep into the workplace and personality features from executives that are on the forefront of the fight for better health in our workplaces. Chronic stress is eroding personal health and the health of businesses. In the workplace, chronic stress manifests into burnout that leads to diminished productivity, higher error rates, and increased turnover. The American Psychology Association reports that 94% of U.S. workers experience chronic stress at work, according to a 2022 Harris poll. Relative to health and wellness, research indicates chronic stress contributes to heart disease, high blood pressure, increased immune deficiencies, digestive disorders, clinical depression, and debilitating anxiety. There's also an indirect correlation between stress and cancer. The National Cancer Institute says people dealing with chronic stress are more likely to make unhealthy lifestyle choices. Smoking, excessively drinking alcohol, overeating, becoming less active, all associated with increased risks of cancer. Collectively, people readily acknowledge stress and burnout are pervasive. Individually, it's harder to admit, especially in a workplace setting. It's really difficult for people to raise their hand and say, I'm burnt out, I'm stressed out, says Patrick Jeffs, CEO at the Resiliency Solution in Chapel Hill, the firm he launched in 2017 with the goal of bringing the resiliency coaching he'd practiced in a clinical setting into hospitals and corporate settings. Jeff goes into the Duke Cancer Center weekly to work with nurses and physicians there, and he works with businesses throughout the country to build resiliency into their systems. We should lead with the assumption that burnout prevention is an essential part of the new corporate environment, Jeff says. That's a pivotal aspect of the message he'll deliver later this month at the Target Leadership Conference in Minneapolis, and it's a central theme in the coaching sessions he conducts one-on-one with CEOs. If we recognize that there is some level of burnout amongst everyone and build that into the system, then it cuts through the equity space as well, he says, noting that women were disproportionately impacted by burnout during COVID because of the pressures they felt to perform both at work and at home, and it's inherently more difficult for someone from a historically marginalized group to acknowledge stress because that can be misconstrued as a weakness. However, C-level executives are as susceptible to the adverse effects of stress as their associates. In the 2023 Disruption Index from Elixir Partners, 80% of CEOs said within the last year they had experienced severe disruption that displaced their business, markets, or operating models. Among the 3,000 global executives surveyed, half of them in $1 billion-plus companies, 70% of C-level executives were fearful of losing their jobs. Ironically, stress can also fuel the fire in the belly that propels leaders to the top. Stress is not inherently bad. It helps us do hard things. Stress is essential, Jeff says. Where the type A folks miss the mark is their inability to have a healthy relationship with stress and rest. Stress creates burnout because of one's inability to introduce rest in their system. Resiliency coaching highlights the importance of building moments of rest and self-awareness into the workday. When a physician is about to meet with a patient about cancer treatment, I encourage them to pause for 3 seconds before they leave their office and again before they enter the patient's room, Jeff says. After the conversation, he coaches the physician to take 30 seconds to be self-aware, notice their breathing, and center themselves back into their own body. Successful coping mechanisms don't have to last hours or days. In a few seconds or minutes, it's possible to reset thoughts and recover a measure of equilibrium. At the Duke Center for Healthcare Safety and Quality, Director Brian Sexton says research has focused on bite-sized well-being strategies to deal with the global increase in anxiety and depression, a downward spiral that is signaled by burnout and measured in emotional exhaustion. In healthcare, emotional exhaustion shows up in everything from medication error rates and mortality ratios to operational outcomes, Sexton says. Predictors of emotional exhaustion can be subtle, like days of work missed or disruptive behaviors. It's a pain when people are acting outside of their normal, well-behaved selves because the reserves they draw on before sending that email or blurting out a response, those filters are gone, so there are more communication breakdowns, more missed work, he says. People are so emotionally exhausted that doing something for well-being just feels like doing one more thing. But bite-sized strategies, simple things that make people feel better, are an easy first step. Sexton's team uses short videos that engage people in reflective activities to enhance resiliency. Each video takes under 10 minutes and includes simple prompts for naming 3 good things, cultivating gratitude, or strengthening relationships. In a controlled study of healthcare workers who practiced the intervention for 10 days, improvements in well-being were both immediate and long-lasting. And we'll stop there, as the rest of the article mentions how top executives need to set the example by not doing things like skipping lunch and working till 7 p.m. and generally not taking care of themselves. Okay, and we'll go ahead and stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost for Reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.